The place to start, if we want to reach people for Jesus Christ, the place to start is not the statistics. It's not about how to do this, whether it's evangelism explosion or campus crusade for Christ, witnessing as a way of life or whatever, or the bridge or whatever tool you want to use. The place to start is on our knees.
This is Living a Legacy, featuring the Bible teaching ministry of Dr. Crawford Loretz. Well, we're often reminded about how we need to talk to people about God, but Crawford was impressed by a well-known author's take on it. And that author said we first need to talk to God about people. Interesting thought. Let's take a look at that. If you're new to our broadcast, our speaker has been teaching and sharing the Word of God for over 50 years as a pastor, conference speaker, and seminary professor. He's authored such books as Leadership as an Identity, Unshaken, and Your Marriage Today and Tomorrow. Crawford retired from church ministry several years ago and now serves as founder and director of Beyond Our Generation, a Christian leadership mentoring ministry. Well, for followers of Christ, we are commanded in Scripture to share the gospel message. But in that sharing, there's to be a real concern and love for those without the Lord, those lost in sin. In a few moments, Crawford will take us to Revelation chapter 7 to help us see the importance of maintaining this heart of concern. Let's join him now as he shares three prayer requests. Crawford Loretz on Living a Legacy.
The way we start in evangelism is not by a strategy. Effective evangelism is not taking a seminar or a workshop. Now, that's important. I didn't say it wasn't. It is very important, and we need to know how to do that, and we need to provide those resources as a body. But effective evangelism is not sitting down knowing how to do it. Effective evangelism begins on your knees. In fact, there's an anchor principle in all of life, and this is the importance of prayer, by the way. The principle is this, and that is that God primarily acts in the affairs of people because of prayer. God primarily will straighten your child out or straighten you out as a husband or straighten out situations around you. God primarily acts in the affairs of people through prayer. And the place to start if we want to reach people for Jesus Christ, the place to start is not the statistics. It's not about what's going on in the culture. It's not about how to do this, whether it's evangelism explosion or campus crusade for Christ, witnessing as a way of life or whatever, or the bridge or whatever tool you want to use. The place to start is on our knees. The place to start is getting our hearts aligned with God. The place to start is pleading to the throne that God would reach people. And that's where we start. This series is taken from a quote from a book that I've read. I bet you I've read this book 30 times, 25, 30 times through the years. It's a book that I just keep coming back to, a little sliver of a book that will impact your life. It is E.M. Bounds' classic little book, Power Through Prayer. In the book, Bounds makes this observation. We ought to talk to God about people before we talk to people about God. For the sake of time today, I want to outline three prayer requests, three things that we as a body need to go to the throne for. First prayer request is this. Number one, we need to ask God to give us a love for the lost. A genuine love for the lost. You say, lost, Crawford, isn't that cruel to talk about people who don't know Jesus as lost? No, it's biblical language. And it is the devastating reality that the people that I love passionately, that are close to me, that I care about, if they don't know Jesus, they are lost. This passion ought to be based upon at least three things. One of them has to do with an appointment that we will all keep. There are two multitudes. In Revelation chapter 7, there's a multitude, and then Revelation chapter 20, there's a multitude. The first multitude in Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 through 12. Just listen to me as I read this text. This is the vision of all of us, the rejoicing that's going to take place in heaven. Those of us who know Jesus, listen to these words. John records, after this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." And that's what we're going to do in heaven, every last one of us. We will see the Lamb that was slain. We will see the lover of our souls. We will see the God of our salvation. And we won't struggle with sin anymore. We won't struggle with temptation anymore. We will see the realization of our salvation. And we will worship and we will praise Him. That's our destiny. But there's another multitude. Revelation chapter 20. There's another crowd. Although the text doesn't say it, it's implied, a number that no man can number. Verse 11 says, "Then I saw a great white throne, the great white throne judgment, and him who was seated on it. From his presence, earth and sky fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books, according to what they had done. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one of them, according to what they had done." Now I want you to listen to the judgment here. It's not a slap on the hands. Verse 14, "Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire." This is the second death, the lake of fire. And this verse ought to cause all of us to weep. "And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire." I want you to close your eyes and think about the people you know and love who have yet to say yes to Jesus. Think about them. Maybe it's you. What Jesus did is not a truth that should entertain us. It is to change our lives. We often say, and I've said this a number of times, boy, if I knew then what I know now. But the Bible gives us the then and the now. This is where it's going to end. We ought to pray for a love for the lost based upon an appointment we will all keep, but number two, based upon His love. We know the text, John chapter 3, verses 16 through 18, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He who believes in Him is not condemned, but he who believes not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten of the Father." It is the passionate love of God that should drive us to love the lost, that He wants to reach and love the lost through us. It's this all-consuming passion. This is the reason why Jesus came. Jesus didn't come to make us happy. Jesus didn't come to put more money in my bank account. Jesus didn't come to give me greater square footage. Jesus didn't come to just make sure that I don't have bunions and corns. All the trivial nonsense. Jesus came on the rescue mission. He came to look and to seek and to save the lost. And this love for the lost is also based upon God's desire. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, God says, I'm not willing that any should perish. Any, I don't want any to perish. But that all should come to repentance. I'm always challenged by this friend of mine who has as his life mission statement that he wants to go to heaven and bring as many people with him as possible. If we could catch a glimpse of not only the devastating condition of the lost, but the enormous heart of God, it would so compel us and drive us to our knees and fill our hearts with that sense of mission. The second prayer request is this. One, we need to pray for love for the lost. Number two, we need to pray for lives that are attractive. Lives that are attractive. Quickly, back to Matthew chapter 5. The famous salt and light passage. Beginning at verse 13. And Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth. If salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet." In verse 14, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." Quickly, just a couple of observations here. Number one, notice he begins each one of those metaphors, he begins each one of them with a statement of identity. He says, "You are." You are. He doesn't say you're going to become. He says, "No, I'm declaring you are the salt of the earth." He says, secondly, "You are." No, not that you're going to become. Whether you like it or not, if you're a follower of Jesus, you are the light of the world. So it's not something to become. It is something to be embraced. You are salt and you are light. And by the way, for the sake of time, let me bottom line this. The expression salt refers to character. Salt was used in a number of ways, but preeminently it was used to preserve. It talks about what's on the inside of something that makes something good. He's speaking about the character of our lives. We need to make sure, this is the reason why holiness and evangelism, holiness and effectiveness in evangelism are directly related. We need to have lives that are salty and attractive. Much like if you sit in a lounge, those pretzels and salty peanuts are not just there for you to enjoy. They're there to make you thirsty so you'll pay some big bucks. But unfortunately, too many of us have lost our salt. We have compromised with the world in terms of our lifestyles, our language, our ethics, our values. How we really live our lives. I was playing golf the other day. I enjoy doing this. Some of you have heard me share this before. I enjoy playing golf by myself so I can hook up with some people who perhaps are not believers. And I pray, God, lead me to some guys that are not non-Christian, that are not Christians. And the other day, I hooked up with a couple of young guys, and they weren't followers. And I love it. I just love it. I get too used to hanging out with you all. It ain't the real world. So I'm with some good old fashioned, And so, and I don't usually tell them what I do until like about the sixth or seventh hole, because then they act more holier than they need to be. And so sure enough, I'm out there and we start talking and I start sharing with them about the gospel, what it means to have a relationship with Christ. And one of them said this to me, he goes, and I've heard this umpteen gazillion times. He says, "Crawford, my biggest problem is with the hypocrites in the church." I started to say, "Oh, give that a rest, How often do you hear that? But you know what? I was going to get into this little adversarial thing. I said, "No, just back on." I said, "Well, what do you mean by that?" Well, he got very specific. Named a church in our area. And what he said, some people, the devil uses our inconsistencies as a stumbling block to Christ. I'm not talking about perfection. Let's watch our words. Let's watch our actions. Let's watch our integrity. Stumbling block. We're also to be light. It's not just that you're a stationary light. Notice how he defines light here. Light is something that you do. He says in verse 16, "In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works. Christians are not just to be. That's heresy. Don't ever accept a view of Christianity where it's just being. Christianity, biblical Christianity, is the balance between being and doing. Incarnation and obedience. And he says, good works. He doesn't qualify them as spiritual. This is the reason why we're convicted that we need to think more outward as a church. It's not just about a Bible cul-de-sac here. We will never back away from preaching the strong content of the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation. But God wants us to show up in our communities to do good works. He wants us to help our neighbors. He wants us to mentor young kids. He wants us to be advocates on behalf of the poor. Why? So that it gives authenticity and integrity to what we share about Jesus. That's what he says, so they will glorify your Father. And I think that's one of the most effective avenues of evangelism. You ever see these dudes that fish at night? Big spotlight, right? Some places it's illegal to do that. And the fish are drawn toward the light. And he defines the light as your good works. Maybe we need to say less to that hostile neighbor than we say and go and help him. Maybe we need to say less about Jesus to that student and go help them. We need to pray for lives that are attractive. The third prayer request is we need to ask God to place a list on our hearts. It's amazing how personal God is in the Bible, isn't it? I'm drawn to that one line, and we touched on it when we did the Romans series, that one line in Romans 10:1, when Paul says, my heart's desire and prayer for them is that they might be saved. Don't miss the passion. My heart's desire and my prayer for them is that they might be saved. I believe Paul had in mind those two crowds. I want them to be over here. What's your heart's desire? That passion implies a couple of things. Number one, God will place people on your heart. Who are the people that God's placed on your heart? Who are they? You know you're not spending enough time with non-Christians if there's nobody on your heart. It implies, number two, the relationship between prayer and care, or prayer and love. You tend to care deeply about what you pray for. And what you pray for, you tend to care deeply about. That's the reason I tell young couples, seriously, the greatest thing I can tell you to do as a couple, the great thing I can tell you to do is to pray every night together before you go to sleep. It is difficult to stay angry at somebody that you're praying with. Now, it can be done. I've done it. But it's it's difficult. Prayer and care. And then thirdly and finally, this implies the second greatest prayer you'll ever pray. The second greatest prayer, the first greatest prayer is for your own relationship with Christ. But the second greatest prayer you'll ever pray for anyone is that they'll come to know Jesus. I may have shared this with you some time ago. For years, there are people on our list. Karen and I had a list of family members and close friends, people that we knew that we prayed for to come to know Christ. I prayed for some of those folks for, over 30 years. And there were times in which they weren't going north, they were going south while I'm praying for them. But it is really amazing to see one by one God just check them off the list. Let's not make this evangelism thing so hard, so difficult. We can pray. In fact, with that in mind, I'm going to ask the ushers to pass out a little card that I want to give you. It's blank. It says, Lord, give me your heart for. And what I'd like for you to do, take a few minutes, maybe 10, 15 minutes, get on your knees and ask God, Lord, give me 5 people. Just 5 people that I know who are not followers of Jesus. And just write their names down. And what I want you to do, maybe keep it in your Bible, pray for them every day. That's all. And let me warn you about something. It's been my experience that now once you start praying for them every day, don't be surprised if God does not give you incredible opportunities to share the gospel with them. Don't be surprised. God has a way of doing that. But let's just start with praying. I want to ask you to bow your heads with me. But maybe you are here today. You've heard me say saved and lost. And you don't know if you're going to be in that multitude, that first multitude. You're not sure that your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. You can invite Jesus Christ into your heart right now. All you have to do is be willing to turn from your sin and invite Jesus Christ to forgive you, to cleanse you. You can pray something like this, Lord Jesus, I need you. I'm sorry for the things I've done wrong. I turn from myself and I receive your free gift of love and forgiveness. Come into my heart and life. If you prayed that and meant it, Jesus Christ is living in your life. It's all by faith. Father, we thank you. We bless your holy name for who you are. Thank you for your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Dr. Crawford Loritz, our speaker here on Living a Legacy, with a message titled, Talking to God About People, based on Revelation chapter 7. Here again are those 3 prayer requests Crawford mentioned. Number 1, we need to pray for a love for the lost. Number 2, we need to pray for lives that are attractive. And number 3, we need to ask God to place a list on our hearts. It's always encouraging to know how God is using these messages each week, and just a few short sentences emailed from your phone, tablet, or computer would be so helpful. Here's a recent email from William. I truly enjoy the way Dr. Crawford conveys God's Word. His message is spot on. I listen Sunday mornings on WNKJ Radio. God bless always. Well, thank you so much, William. And now it's your turn. Here's our email address, legacy@moody.edu. legacy@moody.edu. Our mailing address is Living a Legacy, Moody Radio, 820 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60610. Living a Legacy, Moody Radio, 820 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60610. If you weren't able to join us for all of today's message, go to our website and look for Talking to God About People. And the link Past Programs takes you to several of Crawford's recent messages. Our web address is livingalegacy.org, livingalegacy.org. Well, thanks for being with us today. For Crawford Loritz, I'm Bill Davis. This program is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.